Thank you, Winter. I appreciate that song. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 1 tonight. Proverbs chapter number 1. I'm going to continue the study that I began last month on the book of Proverbs. It was probably, I'm going to say 15 years ago, that I heard a preacher explain how he read the Bible through every month. He had been doing that for years, and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, every month? Wow. But I'm going to try that. So, man, I tell you what, if you miss one Bible day, one day reading your Bible when you're trying to read through the Bible in a month, trust me, you're not going to catch up. So I sought out to read the Bible in a month, and can I just say I've never succeeded. I've tried it multiple times. I've never read the Bible in a month. I've read it in 6 weeks. I've read it in probably 5 weeks. But here's what I learned trying to do that. What I learned was that the Bible, although it is vast, it helped, reading the Bible that much in a month helped to sort of, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, to shrink the Bible. It brought it into perspective. I was able to see things a little bit more clearly and see how this story connected to that. And even though the Bible's a big book, it helped me digest it in an easier way going forward. I obviously don't try to read the Bible every month of my life. I'm not that bright. I can't read like that. But what it did do is it helped me to just be able to better digest the scriptures. It sort of shrunk the Bible, so to speak. If you've ever tried to read the Bible that much in a short period of time, you know what I mean by that. It's not a disrespectful thing. And what I'm trying to do with the book of Proverbs is try to shrink it for you. Try to see, peel back the difficulty of understanding it to make it more palatable for you. And so I'm not trying to go through the book of Proverbs and just expound on every single verse that's found in the book of Proverbs. I'm not trying to do that. What I am trying to do is to help you see that the book of Proverbs is not as intimidating as you might think that it is. And that the book of Proverbs is a book that's so filled with God's wisdom. If you could see more in a big picture perspective how to see, to read, and to understand and digest the book of Proverbs, it would just really help you on a day-to-day basis. The book of Proverbs is arguably the most practical book in the history of mankind, and yet it is one of the most ignored books of the Bible. We say that we want God's wisdom, but our behavior as to whether or not we run to the book of Proverbs really is what determines how much of God's wisdom we really want. The overall theme of the book of Proverbs is a contrast between wisdom and folly. That's the overall theme of the book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs speaks of many different types of people. And it would not be a surprise with God's wisdom to know that God has much to say about a vast array of people. For instance, God has much to say in the book of Proverbs about the fool, about the scorner, about the simple, and about the wise. God has much to say in his infinite wisdom about the ending result of bad behavior in different people. For instance, the practical joker and his end is found in the book of Proverbs. The prating fool is talked about. The talebearer, the backbiter, the strange woman, the whisperer, the drunkard, and the glutton. They're all discussed, and their end is all explained in the book of Proverbs. But not just the end result of bad behavior, the end result of honorable behavior is seen in the book of Proverbs. God talks about the rewards of the diligent, the honest, the righteous, the humble, the pure, and the disciplined. All of these things is part of what God speaks about with regard to his wisdom when he gives us the book of Proverbs. Now, God has much to say about those who refuse instruction as well as those who receive instruction. And I hope when it comes to the book of Proverbs, when it comes to you in life in general, that you're somebody that is receiving instruction, that when somebody corrects you or tries to straighten out an area of your life, that you're not one just to refuse to listen or to heed that instruction. Now, the book of Proverbs, it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your stage of life. It doesn't matter your monetary status. You would all do well, all of us, to heed the principles in the book of Proverbs. You see, the book of Proverbs is written for all mankind. So it doesn't matter if you lived 700 years before Christ. It doesn't matter if you lived in first century Judea. It doesn't matter if you lived in 13th century Russia or 21st century America. The eternal and timeless principles found in Proverbs are for you. And the book of Proverbs is intended to impact our daily lives just like the book of Psalms is intended to impact our devotional lives. And so the book of Proverbs is a great book filled with wisdom. In fact, that's how it starts out. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 1 in the book of Proverbs, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding." So Proverbs is written to us to contrast wisdom and folly, and it's written for our wisdom. Now, Proverbs is filled with practical wisdom. It's daily wisdom for all areas of our lives. Now, if you've been in church for any length of time, you've probably heard the comparison between practical things versus theoretical things. What do we mean when we talk about things that are practical versus theoretical? Well, I'm a big fan of just thinking through the word, defining a word, and letting the word or the Bible tell you what it means. For instance, practical. What word do you hear inside of the word practical? Well, you hear the word practice. And so if you're going to live a practical life according to God's word, you're going to have to practice that. So the book of Proverbs is not a theoretical book. The book of Proverbs is a practical book that's designed to be practiced every day of your life. In fact, I would submit to you that every moment of every day of your life, you are either practicing the book of Proverbs or you are rejecting the book of Proverbs. And so I encourage you, don't just learn and understand the theoretical truths and wisdom found in the book of Proverbs. They're not written for theoretical knowledge. They're written for practical knowledge. They're written to help you understand in life how to do life well. The last time I spoke on the book of Proverbs, I tried to convey three things about this great book. The first thing that I tried to convey was that Proverbs is for time, not for eternity. For instance, the book of Proverbs is not a book written on how to get into heaven. The book of Proverbs is a book that's written on how to live while you're on your way to heaven. And so Proverbs is for time. It is not for eternity. Number two, I said that the book of Proverbs is God's will for your life today. If there's ever a book in the Bible where you could go to find out, hey, what is God's will for my life today? It's the book of Proverbs. That's what Proverbs is good for. And the third thing that I said was that the book of Proverbs is God's mind for your life today. If you ever try to figure out what God thinks on a certain topic, go to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs will tell you what God thinks on every major area of life. The book of Proverbs does not cover every area of life, but it does cover every major area of life. And so that means that the knowledge of the book of Proverbs will tell you what God thinks regarding an area of your life. It'll tell you what God thinks regarding God's will for your life. So I encourage you, as we go through over the next couple of times that I speak, please get a rekindled desire, a rekindled love for the book of Proverbs. Now, as we go to the book of Proverbs, there's 31 chapters. It's one of the easiest books to read on a daily basis because you just pick the proverb that corresponds to that day. Many of us in this room, we've been doing that for years. But let's look at the layout tonight of the book of Proverbs. There are three main sections in the book of Proverbs. The first section is kind of a conversation between a father and his son. The second section, that's sort of what I would have referred to as the reference section of the book of Proverbs. That's what we typically think about when we think of Proverbs. It's those one-liner statements that Solomon gives us, that God gives us through Solomon. And then the third section of the book of Proverbs is the conclusion of the book of Proverbs. That's chapters 30 and 31. So let's look at these three sections real quick, the layout of the book of Proverbs. You'll see that there's many conversations in the book of Proverbs, especially the first seven chapters of the book. I want you to take note of chapter 1, and I want you to see the phrase that's listed many, many times in the first seven chapters of the book of Proverbs. The phrase is, "my son." For instance, the introduction of the book of Proverbs is found in verses 1 through 7 of chapter 1. And then notice verse 8, it says, "my son." Whenever you read "my son" in the first seven chapters of Proverbs, you are reading about a new conversation between a father and his son. For instance, in verse 8, Solomon here is trying to teach likely his son Rehoboam about the importance of his relationship with his parents. So in verse 8, he says, "my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. They shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head and chains about thy neck." That's a conversation between a father and his son. Notice verse 10, there's a new conversation. He says, "my son." And so in verses 8 and 9, he talked about the relationship with his parents. In verse 10, he begins a relationship with sinners. So he says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And then he spends about four more verses saying how, hey, don't have a relationship with sinners. And then starting in verse 15, there's another phrase that says, my son. And now he begins from here through the rest of the chapter about his relationship with wisdom. And so three phrases in chapter one of my son, these are three separate conversations that Solomon is having with his son in verses 8 and 9. That's his relationship with his parents. Verses 10 through 14, it's his relationship with sinners. And verses 15 through 33, it's his relationship with wisdom. That is the pattern that you see throughout the first seven chapters of the book of Proverbs. I'm not going to go through every single my son, but I will show you. Notice chapter 2. Notice how it starts. My son. Notice chapter 3. Notice how it starts. My son. Notice chapter 4. It doesn't start with my son, but it's very similar. It says, hear ye children the instruction of a father. Although my son is mentioned multiple times in Proverbs chapter 4, notice in verse 10, it says, hear, O my son. And then again in verse 20, it says, my son. And so all of the times as you read through the book of Proverbs, I want you to note where Solomon says, my son, and what he is doing. He's beginning a new conversation with his son. This is all the first section of the book of Proverbs. Notice chapter 5, it starts out with my son. Notice chapter 6 starts out with my son. And then finally, chapter 7 starts out with my son. And chapter 7 is actually a parable found within the Proverbs. But I simply point out to you that the first seven chapters is all about conversations that Solomon is having with his son. Understand the first seven chapters. Solomon is basically telling his son, hey, get wisdom. Find wisdom. Seek wisdom. Don't let it go. That's the first seven chapters of the book of Proverbs. And then chapter 8, if you study out chapter 8, what you'll find is this is the culmination of wisdom. So the first seven chapters, he's like, seek wisdom, find wisdom. Once you get it, don't let it go. And chapter 8 is the culmination of wisdom. Chapter 8 is the longest chapter in the book of Proverbs. And it's an interesting chapter because if it's the culmination of wisdom, notice who is tucked inside of the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, starting in verse number 22. The Bible says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Notice that wisdom is an I. Notice, according to verse 23, that this wisdom was from where? From everlasting. That means that this wisdom is none other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so chapter 8 is all about the wisdom that is personified in the person of Jesus Christ. So chapters 1 through 7, Solomon is saying, seek wisdom, find wisdom. Don't let it go when you get it. Chapter 8 is, he's saying, listen, that wisdom is found in God. And that wisdom is found in his son. And so he says in verse 22 of chapter 8, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. And so he goes on and on, Solomon does, and talking about the personification of wisdom that is found in none other than Jesus Christ. And then chapter 9 of the book of Proverbs is a contrast between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is found in the first six verses. It's related to a woman where he calls wisdom a she. And it talks about how, hey, God's wisdom is coming out for everyone. Anybody that wants God's wisdom can get it. But then it ends the chapter with another woman. It's the strange woman. In verse 13, it says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple, knoweth nothing. And if you study out these two women in Proverbs chapter 9, you're going to see that one is true wisdom from God, whereas the other is fleshly wisdom. And so the first nine chapters, that's all the first section of the book of Proverbs. That's the first and second chapter sections of the book of Proverbs. Then we get to the third section, which is more what we're known, what we know Proverbs as, is starting in chapter 10. Starting in chapter 10, the way to think about the book of Proverbs starting in chapter 10 through chapter 29, it's like a reference book. It's like a dictionary. It's an encyclopedia of little one-phrase statements that give a lifetime of wisdom in one statement. That's how to think of the book of Proverbs starting in chapter 10. And so it's not a surprise in chapter 10 that he starts out by reintroducing himself because it's another section. Chapter 10, verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And this is more what we're familiar with, these one-line statements that give a lifetime of wisdom. This is more how we're used to hearing the book of Proverbs. And so this section, starting in chapter 10, goes all the way until chapter 29. And that's the section that you really want to become familiar with, where he talks about diligence and, you know, laziness and righteousness and purity and folly and all these things. It's in that middle section of the book of Proverbs. Well, then the last section, we get to chapter 30 and chapter 31. And these are two chapters written by two different people. And chapter 30, if you're there, you'll notice the Bible says the words of Eger, the son of Jacob. Now, most people have never heard of this guy. Now, this guy is the opposite of Solomon. Solomon was a man who was known for his brilliance and his speech, whereas Eger, he was just a common man. He was a man that didn't have the wealth and the prominence and the divine wisdom of Solomon. He was more like your country farmer from West Virginia, a guy that was just a hard worker, but he was filled with godly wisdom. In fact, he tells you in comparison to Solomon that he's no one. Notice in verse 2, Eger says, "Surely I am more brutish than any man." He's saying, "I'm a brute of a man. I'm not that bright, right? I'm not educated. I'm not as polished as Solomon." He says, "I'm more brutish than any man and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy." He is saying, "I'm not educated like Solomon is." But understand something. And many of you know this. Many of you have uneducated grandparents, uneducated grandpa or grandma who didn't finish high school. And they're filled with some of the most brilliant wisdom of anyone you've ever talked to. Because wisdom isn't found in a palace. It's not found in a classroom. It's found by knowing God. And whether it's Solomon or Eger here, they both knew God. And so that's the general layout. Actually, we're close. It's Mother's Day. We shouldn't leave off Proverbs 31. Go to Proverbs 31. You'll see the other concluding chapter. Proverbs 30 was written by Eger. Proverbs 31 was written by King Lemuel's mother. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 31, it says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." And so the prophecy, the Proverbs of a virtuous woman was taught to this King Lemuel. Many people think that that was Solomon. And it was taught to him by his mother. And so those are the three sections of the book of Proverbs. The first seven or nine chapters have to do with his conversations between a father and his son, and then seeking wisdom in chapter 8, and the comparison of worldly wisdom and true wisdom in chapter 9. Then section 2 would be that middle section, that reference book portion of the book of Proverbs. And then the last section is here in the last two chapters. And so that's the general layout of the book of Proverbs. Let me ask you a question. What's the definition of a proverb? What is a proverb? Remember, there are all types of proverbs around our world today. For instance, there are American proverbs. Many of us know American proverbs. For instance, if I were to say, "Actions speak louder than what?" Words. That's an American proverb. A proverb. "Beggars can't be choosers." Hey, it's better to be safe than... So these are all American proverbs. They're proverbs that originated in our country over the last 200 and some years. But there's also Oriental proverbs. Many of us have heard Oriental proverbs from the East. For instance, one of them is, "A journey of 1,000 miles begins with what? One step." That's an Oriental proverb. And so the word proverb is where we get our word proverbial. For instance, you might say, "Oh, they got the proverbial cart before the horse." That's a figure of speech, which means they got their life out of order. They got things out of whack. And so all of us have proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is simply God's proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, there's no contradiction of proverbs. In America, some of our proverbs contradict themselves. Not so in the book of Proverbs. So a proverb is a phrase which describes something in life. A proverb is an easy way to remember some sort of truth. And a very simple definition of a proverb, as far as God is concerned, a proverb is a lifetime of wisdom in one sentence. That's what a proverb is. It is a lifetime of wisdom in one sentence. Oftentimes in the book of Proverbs, God actually gives you the end of how something will work out from the beginning. For instance, go to Proverbs 29. I want you to see something. Proverbs 29. A lot of us, we don't know how things are going to work out sometimes. God always knows how things are going to work out. And so God, in his infinite wisdom, gave us a book, and he told us, hey, if you live this way, this is how that life is going to turn out, for the good or for the bad. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 29. It's just a simple proverb. Proverbs 29, the Bible says in verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And so if you fear man, if you're constantly trying to please man, if you're constantly trying to please this person, and then this person, and then this person, and you have left off the fact that you should be pleasing God, if you're always trying to please man, your fear of man is consuming you, the Bible tells you how it's going to turn out. It says it brings a snare. And then he tells you how it's going to turn out to trust the Lord. Verse 25, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And so the end result of fearing man is one trap after the other, whereas the end result of fearing God is safety. You see, at first, it feels safe to trust man, but in the end, it's scary. And at first, it feels scary to trust God, but in the end, it's safe. And so a proverb is giving you a lifetime of wisdom in one sentence. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1. I want you to see how God defines a proverb. One of the best things you'll ever do is let the Bible define itself. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 6, it says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. Notice, according to this verse, the Bible, the Proverbs are written to understand them and to have an interpretation of them. Keep your hand here and go up to John chapter 16. I want you to see another reference to the word proverb. John chapter number 16. Keep your hand there in Proverbs chapter 1. We'll be back there. But go quickly to John chapter 16. We're letting the Bible define itself. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter number 16, verse number 29. John 16, 29. The Bible says in verse 29, his disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. So according to this verse, the opposite of a proverb is to speak plainly, which means there's a hidden truth. A proverb can be cryptic. It can be difficult to understand. It can be hazy. It can be foggy. You read a proverb and you're like, ugh, I don't really know exactly what that means, which is why the disciples said, hey, speak to us plainly. Don't speak to us in proverbs. And so we must understand, as you read the book of Proverbs, they're not written plainly. By definition, biblically, a proverb can be cryptic and difficult to understand. In fact, in that same chapter, notice what the Bible says in verse 25, the book of John, chapter 16, verse 25. The Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh that I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Notice that a proverb is opposite of speaking plainly, which means you have, according to chapter 1 of Proverbs, you have to understand a proverb. You have to interpret a proverb. The book of Proverbs, you don't read that one time and know what that says. There is not a person in here. I don't care if you've read Proverbs every month for 30 years, there are proverbs you do not understand. I guarantee you. Why? Because it's the opposite of speaking plainly. They're written in a cryptic form that you have to know God and seek God and want to know truth in order to understand. And so according to the Bible here in John chapter 16, the Bible's very clear that a proverb is the opposite of speaking plainly. In fact, go back a couple of chapters in the book of John, chapter number 10, and a proverb is actually connected to a parable. Notice in John chapter 10, Jesus says the same thing about a parable. Notice the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 6, it says, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them, which means a proverb is a single phrase that has a hidden truth, and a parable is a story, an illustration that has a hidden truth. Now, go back to Proverbs 1, and this verse will make more sense. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 6, now that we understand that a proverb is the opposite of speaking plainly, now as we read verse 6, and it says, Proverbs 1:6, it says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Notice that. A proverb is a dark saying. It's shadowy. There's a truth there, but it's cryptic in some way. You have to know God. You have to know his truth. You have to seek his truth in order to understand it. And so Proverbs is not a book that you sit down and read one time and you simply know it all. That is absolutely not how the book of Proverbs is written. It will take work and it will take effort to interpret and to understand Proverbs. By the way, remember, these Proverbs are from God. These are not American Proverbs, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Listen, that's a man-made proverb. These Proverbs are from God. And these Proverbs, if you want to know God, they can be found out. But if you want to twist the scriptures, he'll let you do that with the book of Proverbs. And so the book of Proverbs is a dark saying. It's cryptic. It will take work. It will take effort for you to understand what this book is saying. By the way, understand something. As you read the book of Proverbs, don't worry about the things in the book of Proverbs that you don't understand. Be more concerned about all the things in the Bible and the book of Proverbs that you do understand that you just don't do. For instance, go to Proverbs chapter 15. Let me show you a very simple proverb that everybody in here understands. Everybody in this room understands Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Don't get bogged down with all the stuff you don't know. Do you even do this verse? There's plenty in the book of Proverbs that you do understand, that I do understand, that we just struggle to fulfill, that we just struggle to live. And so what is a proverb? A proverb is a lifetime of wisdom in one sentence, which is a dark saying, but it teaches some sort of truth from God. Let's look at some examples of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs is filled with divine wisdom. It is not just worldly wisdom. Proverbs is not filled with wisdom that just helps you get ahead in life. Proverbs is written with wisdom that'll help you do well at life. So let's look at an example of the wisdom of Proverbs. Now, as we read this, I want you to see that what we're about to read is not earth-shattering wisdom. This is not wisdom that you're going to read and be like, oh my. Most of God's wisdom is not like that. Did you know that most of God's wisdom is just a little nugget of truth here, a little nugget of truth there that you and I simply don't do? That's what the book of Proverbs is. Watch this. Proverbs chapter 27. Most of the middle section of Proverbs, they are verses that are independent of the verse before it and after it, meaning they are standalone verses. There are sometimes, I think that this is one of them, I could be wrong, there are sometimes where verses are linked together. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 1. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. He's saying, listen, don't brag and boast about what you're going to do tomorrow. God is saying, hey, make plans. Make, you know, have a plan. Don't go through life, you know, by the seat of your pants. Have a plan for your education. Have a plan for your marriage. Have a plan for your money. Have a plan for your ministry, whatever it might be. But don't come to me and tell me how you're just, you absolutely know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't. That's what he's saying. And he's saying, don't boast about it. Don't come to me and say how perfect your plan is and there's no opportunity for it to fall apart. He's saying don't do that. Here's what he's saying. Don't brag about tomorrow. But he doesn't stop there. Notice verse 2. He says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. You know what he's saying here in verse 2? He's saying don't brag about what you used to do. Here's the wisdom of Proverbs. Here it is. Very simple. Don't brag about what you're going to do tomorrow. Don't brag about what you did yesterday. He's saying, let somebody else praise you. And you say to me, you say, Brother Joe, that's not that big of a deal. That's the thing with Proverbs, is that most people go through life ignoring the little nuggets of truth of the book of Proverbs. And the reason that their life is a wreck and disheveled is because they have spent an entire lifetime ignoring these little nuggets of truth found all throughout Scripture. Think about what kind of homes we would have. If the Bible says in verse 2, let another man praise thee, what kind of homes would each of us have if everyone in your house praised everyone except themselves? What would your home look like? Listen, I don't know about everyone, but I think I know men pretty well. There's one person that a man likes to praise. And that's a guy that he shaves every morning in the mirror. He loves, I'm telling you what, men love some self. Men love themselves so much that when God said, hey, love your wives, what did God have to say? He said, love your wife like what? Like you love yourself. And we're like, I don't think I love anyone. It was like, I love me some self. All of us do. Now, men are known for it. Women love themselves just the same. But men are known for it, which means we probably have a tick higher level of pride. But understand, verse 2 is simply saying, if your homes were filled with people that praised everyone except themselves, what would your home look like? It's a little nugget of truth. It's not life-shattering. It's not going to make the heavens fall. But that's how God's wisdom is. And when you go through life ignoring these little nuggets of truth, that's not a big deal. Yeah, that's why your life's a wreck. Because every bit of God's wisdom to you is, that doesn't apply to me for this reason. And that doesn't apply to me for this reason. And that doesn't apply to me. And we always have reasons and excuses why God's wisdom doesn't apply to us. So that's an example of the book of Proverbs. How do we read the book of Proverbs? The book of Proverbs is cryptic. It's sometimes tough to understand and read. Go to Proverbs 16. I want you to see how to read this middle section of the book of Proverbs. I'm going to show you two verses that are back to back. There's one way that you can read the book of Proverbs that when you read a verse, the verse helps you to define the verse. Notice in Proverbs chapter 16, the Bible says in verse number 18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Now, if you only had verse 18, how would you define the word pride? Well, you would define the word pride by haughty. Do you see that? Do you see how pride defines haughty spirit, and haughty spirit defines pride? And then destruction, how would you define destruction? You would find destruction as a fall, because that's what destruction is. It's falling down. And so one of the ways that you read the book of Proverbs is seeing how the verse helps to define itself by a complementary statement. And so what he is saying is pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. He's saying the same thing two different ways. He's communicating a double stamp of approval on this phrase. The other way that you read the book of Proverbs is the next verse, which is a contrast. So the first way you read the book of Proverbs is a comparison. The second way is in contrast. Notice verse 19. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Notice in verse 19, better to be of an humble spirit is contrasted with the end of that verse, which is the proud. And in verse 19, it says better to be of an humble spirit with the lowly, that means poor, which is contrasted with, verse 19, dividing the spoil, which is the opposite of being poor. And so in verse 19, you're reading it in contrast, meaning one statement is the opposite of the first statement. And so as you read this middle section of the book of Proverbs, you have to understand that some verses you're reading in a complementary view. There's a comparison where they're working together to say the same truth. And then the very next verse might be in contrast where the opposite is helping you to understand the general truth. Now, very simply, this is more of a Wednesday night message, but how do I apply the book of Proverbs tonight? Go to Proverbs chapter 5. Three things on how to apply the book of Proverbs. You see, Proverbs is much more than Solomon writing to his son Rehoboam. The first way that we must understand and apply the book of Proverbs is to understand that this is God the Father writing to us. It was a number of months ago, it may have been a year ago. I was struggling, I was discouraged, I was hurting, I was going through some difficult things. And I found myself at all places, I don't want to hear it, but of all places, I found myself at McDonald's. And I'm sitting there at the table, drinking some coffee, and just shoving down that comfort. No, I wasn't doing that. Just drinking my coffee. And I was reading. And I remember that it was the 5th of the month, because I remember reading this chapter. And I got out my Bible, and I was drinking my coffee, and I remember praying, Lord, help me. It was one of those times where I didn't know what to pray. Lord, I just could really use your help. And I opened up my Bible to Proverbs chapter 5, and I read the first two verses of the chapter, my son. And I was reminded that the book of Proverbs is much more than Solomon writing to Rehoboam. The book of Proverbs is God the Father writing to me. I was reminded that the book of Proverbs is from my Father in heaven to me. You see, if I was the only person that had ever lived, God would have written the book of Proverbs just for me. And this book is filled with wisdom for me. Listen, this book is filled with wisdom for you. I don't mean this disrespectfully. You're not bright enough to handle life on your own. You have no wisdom in and of yourself. This is God saying to you, you are my son, and I want to help you in life. I want to give you my mind. I want to give you what is my will for your life. And every time you see that phrase, my son, understand that far exceeds Solomon writing to Rehoboam. That is the God of all creation writing to you. And so the first way that you apply the book of Proverbs is to see that it is God the Father writing to you. The second way that you apply the book of Proverbs, go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16, the second way that you apply the book of Proverbs is you will see Satan lurking in the shadows of every villain in the book of Proverbs. Satan is in the shadows behind every evil thing in the book of Proverbs. Notice in chapter 16, verse number 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and his lips are a burning fire. Behind that ungodly man is the devil himself. Verse 28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Behind that whisperer is the whisperer of Satan himself. Verse 29, a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. Behind that violent man is Satan himself. Verse 30, he shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. Behind that man that is daydreaming about evil is Satan himself. Satan is lurking in the shadows of every villain in the book of Proverbs. And you must read the book of Proverbs to be on guard for Satan's attacks. He's there in the book. God's telling you where he's right here. Behind every verse of evil, behind every villain in the book of Proverbs is Satan himself. And so number one, God the Father is writing to you. Number two, Satan is lurking in the shadows of every villain in the book of Proverbs. And number three, go to Proverbs 18, and you'll see Jesus himself standing in the shadows of every single truth found in the book of Proverbs. There is not a truth. Listen, it's like taking a picture and there's the horizon behind you. Behind every picture in the book of Proverbs, that is a picture of truth, of righteousness, of humility, of holiness, of integrity, of character. Behind every one of those pictures stands the greater picture, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Satan is lurking in the shadows of every villain, so too is Jesus Christ standing in the shadows of every single truth found in the book of Proverbs. Notice in Proverbs chapter 18, the Bible says in verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That's a lifetime of wisdom right there. The Bible doesn't say, hey, be nice and you'll have friends. It's not what it says. It says, be friendly and you'll have friends. The Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Here it is. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That right there is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to force himself into your life. That's why the Bible says, there is a friend. It's optional. You can reject that. Hey, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but he's optional. He's not going to force you to be his friend. He wants to be your friend, but he's not going to force you to be his friend. And so the book of Proverbs is an incredibly practical book because it is, number one, God the Father writing to you. Number two, it is Satan and his minions lurking in the shadows of every villain in the book of Proverbs. And number three, it is Jesus Christ standing on the horizon of every great truth found in the book of Proverbs. So I'm not sure where this thought finds you tonight, but I can tell you this. If you feel you have as much wisdom as you could possibly handle, you still need the book of Proverbs. If you're just starting out on your journey of faith, if you're just starting out in your relationship with the Lord, you need the book of Proverbs. There is no human being today breathing God's air that does not need the book of Proverbs. All of us need God's wisdom. All of us need those phrases that are a lifetime of wisdom that we can read and find out the end from the beginning. Will you do that? Will you rekindle the desire in your heart for this great book, the book of Proverbs? It's one chapter a day. You can read this 12 times in the year, one chapter for every day. And it fills you with God's word. It fills you with God's wisdom. We'll stand for a moment of invitation tonight. I'm not sure where this thought has you this evening as our musician comes.